All right, so Akedas Yitzchak, big theme of this week, right? You never talks Akedas Yitzchak. What exactly was the Akedah? What exactly was the Nisayon? Whose Nisayon was it? Avram Yitzchak. I want to talk out one point. I heard from Arazer a number of years ago, and it resonated with me tremendously. This little Nakuda. I actually tweeted it this morning, so if you just follow in one line, you could get the whole thing. It's a sefer, the Motzei Shaul Rav on Yom Noraim. Asks the following question. It's a big Nisayon that Avram had. Here all of a sudden he has to go take Yitzchak, Kachna, Esbincha, Sichidcha, Shahavta. And he doesn't tell Sarah where he's going. Kadosh Baruch Hu only commanded Avraham in the Sakeh that for some reason Sarah didn't get this particular Nisayon. All the other Nisayonah, seemingly she was somewhat a partner in when they traveled down to Mitzrayim, when it came time to wage war against the four and five kings. You know, all the various nisyonos, Sarah was taken by Avimelech, by Paro, etc. What was the nisayon? Why wasn't Sarah involved in the nisayon? So he gives two answers. I'll share with you two, even though I'm only going to focus on one. So the Motzei Shaul Rav writes, Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'Avram yishma lekol tzivoy bilvad. She'sivilo lehalos es Yitzchak le'ola. He wanted him to focus on the tzivoy. And had Sarah was a bigger nevuah, she was a bigger nevia than Avram, right? Kol ma shetagi Sarah shma b'koylech, whatever Sarah says, listen to her, right? That could have been a whole shmooze. And therefore, Sarah could have told them exactly what to do, and therefore it would have taken away from the tzivoy a little bit, because Avram would have listened to Sarah, and not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because she would have understood it clearly. You know, kids come to stand and say, what's the big deal? They ask me this all the time. It's so funny. They said, what do you mean? If God tells me something, of course I would have done it. I said, really? You gave me 613 mitzvahs, and you pretty much ignore all those. You know, what? I don't understand. No. Because God really talked to me. I said, don't you understand? Avraham Avinu could have played the same game we all did, which he could have pretended he heard something different. He didn't have to, like, go. So the one theory is that Sarah had known. She had a clear path, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that would have taken away from Nisayon. That's one approach. But here's the second approach. This is what we want to talk about tonight. Od Yesh Lomar, Shebishvil Lahagdil HaNisayon Ne'alom HaDavar Misar. In order to raise the bar of this Nisayon, he hid this idea from Sarah. How so? Shechinhu Toho Avram, Lakachad, it was incumbent upon Avram to take as Bino, Yechido, his only son, Shelola lo Misara be'ezik nosim, that was given birth, it took him God knows how long to have this child, Vilahakrivo agabe mizbech, and to bring him onto mizbech, Mibli lisha'ol espia, umibli lizdakek lahaskamaseh, without asking her permission whatsoever. Wow. How many of us have ever bought anything on Amazon.com for $3 without asking your wife? Now, all of a sudden, he was told, go take your son, shecht him. And oh, by the way, no consulting, no cheating, no talking to your wife. V'ilu haisa sar yodas, had Sarah known, umevia es has kamasa ledavar, said she would have brought her approbation, so to speak, her approval to this nisayon. It would have been so much easier. Anybody could ask their wife what to do. And if you ask your wife what to do and she tells you what to do, then everything becomes much easier. Terrible joke. Always a bad rabbi joke. But they told the people at a conference, you know the joke, man? You know what he
do? No, but you told anyway.
Oh, yeah. I have no choice. So, terrible joke. They said, you know, they once had a conference and they said, okay, everybody whose husbands are in charge, go to the right, and everybody whose wife's in charge, go to the left. And everybody went to the left, except for one guy, he went to the right. So they said, no, how come everybody went to the left and you went to the right? He goes, my wife told me to come here. Okay, so, told you, bad rabbi. Anyway, but the point is that it's much easier to do something when you're told by somebody else to do it. It takes away from the Yisrael. Now, Avram had to show his greatness here by kind of being independent and not being alone with Sarah. And this is really what, you know, we forget. When you're talking about Shalom Bayis, you forget what a bracha the Shalom Bayis is. And I would go a little bit of an order that I want to initially. I don't know why, maybe as I say it. This past summer, I told him I'd quote him and I got permission. As a matter of fact, he probably loves that he's going to be quoted. David Bashevkin, an old student of mine, wrote an article for the OU. And I immediately responded to him. I didn't do it publicly, but now I will. That I disagreed with his article. Let me explain why, based on this. He wrote an article which he waited to get married to write, which, to his credit, where he was minimizing the Shidduch crisis. I don't know if anybody's read this article. If it's on ou.org/life/inspiration/singles-sanity, okay, whatever it is, you Google it. So here he talks about three different various problems in the world that people have. Number one was people who are in problems in shidduchim. Another one was a financial problem, and another one was infertility. All are big problems. And what he was trying to suggest in this article, I'll read to the end. He writes, I'll read to you verbatim what he writes, because it's not, I'm spinning it one way. I don't know if he meant it like this. He goes, everyone has setbacks in life. Different people have different starts and journeys during their productive and successful lives. Some get laid off, some struggle with having children, others take longer getting married. Notice the way he spun it, right? That should take them. Some people never get married, I would say. Each deserves sensitivity, privacy, and decency. These can be obtained with a healthy dose of common sense and a brief period of thought before actually speaking. He's on the mark that when other people have problems, you have to be sensitive to them. He's 100% correct. And then he writes, don't be so quick to assume it's a single's fault for their predicament. There's some ways some people try but cannot have kids. People try can have kids. Some people try but are unable to find a suitable partner, etc., etc. And he talks about mazel. But he goes, maybe your words of encouragement were solicited, and try not to constantly gravitate in conversation to the setback that your friend, acquaintance, person you met in the supermarket is experiencing. So his point was that, he had two points, I think. Number one, he's equating all the various crises, so to speak. And number two, he's saying you have to be sensitive to all kinds of different people who are going through difficult times. Are you guys hot or just kidding?
Just kidding.
What?
Just kidding.
Maybe it's dumb as article. Anyway, point is like this.
Riled you up.
Yeah, dumb guy. So he did get me riled up. I remember I know exactly the hotel room I was in. I think I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, actually. Good call by you, Ben. I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it was the last day of the trip. And I, you know, when David tweets something, I immediately read it, because I'm interested in what he has to say. And I thought it was a good spin. You have to be sensitive to all kinds of people with all kinds of various tragedies. But I don't think it's equatable. I think the Shidduch crisis is far more painful than somebody without a job, which is painful, and somebody who has infertility, which is incredibly painful. They're both incredibly painful. We see that Tanakh is filled with stories of people who can't have children and the pain that they went in. And, you know, it's funny that Tanakh doesn't have so many things about people who have financial problems. Okay, but my point is like this, is that, but the one advantage you have when you have infertility, and the one advantage you have when you have parnasa issues, or all the other, you know, pick a challenge in a Jewish community that you have at that particular moment, is you have a partner that you're going through with it. You have somebody else that you could talk it over with, and you could talk out these particular issues. But when you're the Shidduch crisis, it's terribly lonely and terribly difficult to get through, you know, those periods of time when you have absolutely nobody to confide in, to talk to. And I think that was the ultimate nisayon that Avram Avinu had. Avram Avinu, here he is with, go Shecht Yitzchak. Here it is, him and Sarah, they struggled for years with infertility together. They struggled through the nisyonos together. And now the hardest nisayon of all, go do it yourself. And by the way, don't tell your wife. Wow. Could you imagine the pachad that he must have had at that particular moment, that he didn't have a partner in this particular event, and that he had to do this? That's not so simple. So I think that notion really is what the nisayon is all about. What could be the nisayon about? I think that this fits in very nicely with we say in Koheles. Right? I immediately, when I saw this word, I thought of Koheles. I didn't think of Koheles, because I didn't know where it was in Koheles. So I Googled the Pasuk, right? It's a famous expression. You know, you don't know anything. So, Tov Mashtayim and Echad, right? The Pasuk tells us, Tov Mashtayim and Echad, Ashiyesh Lahem Sachar Tov Ba'amalam. Greater is two than one, who have Sachar Tov, who have reward in all of their toil. Ki Mipalu Echad, because if one falls, when one's going through a difficult time, what does the Pasuk continue? Yakim Es Chadero. The friend will then lift you up. But if one person falls, there's no second person, they can't pick them up. And then the other pasuk continues, etc., etc., and there's two more pasukim like that. And Tov Mashtayim, Rashi immediately quicks up. What are we talking about? Rashi says, the following, a person should have a good friend. You know, that's when you're young. And then, and marry a woman who you're going to have more profit, so to speak, when the two of you are together. So this is what Rashi is saying. This is Tovim Shtayim Ad Echad. This is what it means to be that what a healthy marriage is. What a healthy marriage is means when you come together. And by the way, you're going to go through, everyone in their lives is going to go through difficult times. I haven't met a couple yet that doesn't have troubles raising their kids. It's no such thing as hitting it all. Actually, there's one person I can think of in my life, but that's about it. There's no such thing as putting it on autopilot and going. It's better to do it with two people. And that's the way Rashi says. The Malbim chimes in, and he says also, Vatura Sheni, the Malbim chimes in, he says, if one falls, Hasheni Yakum. It's like a tag team. And you know, it really reminds me of a story that happened a long time ago on a Shabbaton. I think that you could view this in a practical way, that, you know, like somebody told me tonight, their wife's in China, so he's picking up the slack. He got home at 6 o'clock tonight, which is very nice. Tov shnayim min echad, so therefore, just on a very practical level, it could work. But I think it goes a lot deeper than that. I think that would happen with Avram Sarah is a lot deeper. It wasn't just a practical thing. But I think if there's a deeper connection, you can go far beyond that. I'll tell you a story that really resonated with me. It was a Shabbaton, and the guest speaker at the time was single. So a number of Rebbes were just schmoozing with him. And somebody commented, just down on the Shabbaton. He says, yeah, I wish I could have spoken. I said, why? So he said over a Torah from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky used to always, says in his biography, he always used to walk in the front. You know, like if you walk in the back towards the front, then everybody's got to stand up for you. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was makbid to always walk in through the front door. You know, like if you could think about it, like by a big wedding hall, right? You have the chuppah. So, you know, I appoint somebody's the eid kiddush, the guy's in the back, everybody's got to stand up for them. So Rabbi Yaakov used to always walk in through the front, that nobody would have to stand up for him. It was makbid not to get covered. Except at the Torah Masorah Convention, right? I think this is what it says in the biography. Why was he makbid on the Torah Masorah Convention not to walk in the front? He used to walk in the back because he wanted his wife, he wanted his Rebbetzin to see all the cover that he got over the Shabbat, over the Torah Masorah Convention, so that she would understand that all the hard work and all the toil that she put in over the course of the years was worth it, because look at all the cover that he got, right? And he wasn't doing it for himself, he was doing this cover for his wife. It was a very beautiful idea. So this particular Rebbe said, I wish they would ask me to speak on the Shabbaton, not because I care to speak on the Shabbaton. I want my wife to see that the kids actually listen to me and that all the hard work she does at home is worth it, right? So, very beautiful idea. So this guest speaker, who was single at the time, he says, and can you imagine how I feel? He says to us, why? He goes, because I don't even have that wife. I don't even have that idea that I could share some of my triumphs with somebody else. There was like a certain lack of something missing. And he felt, so nobody wanted to be, we weren't trying to be insensitive to that man, to that Rebbe, but Baruch Hashem, now he's married with a lot of kids, but at the time when he was single, like, it was like, you know, when you don't have somebody to come home and to share your successes or your failures with, there's a little bit lacking. It's lacking. And that's really where we just move into this famous Gemara in Yevamos. It's a Gemara I didn't know so well, but what happened was, it was a really random story in my life. But Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of random stories. There was a young man who lived out of town, and somehow, when he started dating this young lady, it was determined that he was going to stay here, right? All right? So he moved into the basement. So we had this guy, and he was going on his first date with his young lady, but if he came here first, he went out with the lady, and he came back, stayed by us, because it's when you live out of town, apparently you do like two or three dates in a row, right? So he came in over the weekend. I think he stayed with us for Shabbos, he didn't eat with us, but like whatever it was, he moved into the basement. Really, really nice young man. And he's coming in every other week, and he's staying with us for the weekend, and he's gone with this girl. And then one day, he barely spoke. He was like, you know, he comes up, and he goes, you have any scissors? I'm like, scissors? So he's like, yeah, scissors. I'm like, why? He goes, well, I got to do an art project. Now, this is a 23-year-old young man who comes in, I think it was Toronto, and he's, what are you doing? So he goes, I'm proposing tomorrow. So we on this dining room table, he enlarged the Gemara in Yevamos. And the Gemara in Yevamos says, he enlarged it. It's a true story. With pictures, my daughter was very involved, that they actually got engaged in Halb, and she was in 8th grade at the time, so they got engaged in Halb. So she actually came out to the boardwalk, and she was holding up the sign at the time. But it said, Kol Adam She'en Lo Isha, any man who doesn't have a wife, Shari Below Simcha, he's without Simcha. So one of the words was Simcha, Below Bracha, one of the words was Bracha, Right, and then the Gemara continues. I'm sorry, Shari below Simcha, below Bracha, below... What? You know the guy?
No, I think I remember.
Below Tova, we have pictures. Below Tova, he's without Tova. And the Gemara, and the Gemara continues that anybody who is without a wife, he's lacking Simcha, he's lacking Bracha, he's lacking Tova. And it quotes Psukim, below Simcha, why? Dichsi v'samachta ato uveisecha. Simcha is with you and your home. The home refers to the wife. Okay, which is really a pasuk by Meister Sheni, but okay, b'loy bracha dechsev brings a pasuk laniyach bracha al beisecha, and then it continues later on. Why is it without tov, without goodness? Because lo tov adam lios levado, a man, it's not good for him to be alone. And b'marava amrei, they had in below Torah below choma, so he had all these signs below Torah. Right now that he's getting married, he's going to have all these things. So what's the challenge? It's a very strange gemara, like. You know, I think I'm happy. You know, like, does that really mean that all single guys aren't happy? Is that what it means? Like, you know, I think I had a good time before I got married, and I think my kids are pretty happy, and I know a lot of single people who are happy. So, what does it mean when the Gemara says, "Kol adam she'ein lo isha shari below simcha"? What's going on here? So, share with you, Maral says an amazing thing. And it's not really that amazing, the truth is, because it's fairly obvious. And when you get to the obvious part of it, you really understand, you know, this whole Akedah and the whole Nisayin and everything ties back together. I'm going to bring it back to the parasha one more time. It says, Shari below Simcha. It's the Maral in Yevamis, Chidush Agadis, Samach Beis and Mebeis. Perish, Kol Simcha Hu, Mipnei Ashlemus. What is genuine Simcha? Not joy, but Simcha. What is Simcha? Simcha is Shlemus, completion. When you are full. Ki kasher echad b'shlemus, when a person is b'shalem, is full, is content in some level, az ba'a simcha. Ve'ein adam b'shlemus, a person doesn't have shlemus, kasher ein lo isha, when he doesn't have a wife. Ulekach, and therefore, shori b'lo simcha. A person is without simcha. A person is cannot possibly be with this concept of what simcha is. Simcha, which is the idea of connecting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's this idea of having like a yeshiva das almost. It's not like, you know, the way we joy simcha. Simcha is not winning the World Series. That's fun. Simcha is this idea of almost like, you know, you're sameach b'chelko, right? You're wealthy. You're sameach, you have exactly what you need. One could only be shalim when he's together with a wife. Now I'm going to skip a little bit of morale. Because the Maral goes through bracha, I don't think that's shayach for us. But then he goes back to what is tov? V'amr below tova, he's without tov without a wife. Why? Ki amachloikas lo nemra ba ki tov. What day in creation didn't it say ki tov? It was Monday. Why didn't it say ki tov on Monday? Because what wasn't complete? The day wasn't complete. There was stuff missing still. And then it says a double ki tov the next day. Aval ha'achdus. But when it comes to unity, v'achibor, in connection, hu ha-tov, bi'atmo, that's the ultimate tov. V'davar z'yish l'havin, and this you must understand, ma she'achalak sh'yeh b'yom ha-sheni, ka'asher nivra olam, lo never bo kitov. That's why Monday it didn't say kitov. Memela ha-zachar n'akeva, when it comes to zachar n'akeva coming together once again, d'chsi v'yelav asr echad hu, that is ha-tov. The reconnection of male and female coming together to create marriage, that's the ultimate tova. That's what Tov is. Because when it's disparate, it's not shalim, it's empty, because man and wife are created. You know, I said this at my fourth, I don't think I've ever repeated it since then, but there's an old question, why don't you say Shechianu when you get married? L'chor, you should get married, you should make a Shechianu, right? If you buy a new car, you make a Shechianu. So again, I don't want to get into the technical ideas of what marriage is. Technically, you should make a Shechianu on marriage. You're purchasing it, so why not make a Shechianu? So I saw in the Sfarim, all the Sfarim say this, because it's not buying something new, it's machzir and aveda, it's returning a lost object that was with you the whole time. Because up until then you were lost, you didn't have everything you need, and now once again you're together, that creates shlemus. Shlemus is simcha. Shlemus equals simcha. This is what the Gemara in Yevamis is trying to articulate in a nice way. It's really funny, because you would think it's a nice machshava piece, right? The Shulchan Aruch, Evin Ezer, begins with the following. What's the first halacha in Evin Ezer? Chayav kol adam lisa isha kedei lefros v'lera. Right? You have to have peruvu. The Ramah then adds the following. V'chol mi she'en lo isha shari b'lo bracha b'lo tara b'lo nikra adam. He's not even called a mensch. You're not called a mensch. You're not called a person until you get married. V'kei mishenasa isha, and when you marry somebody, avan oseinu misfachin, then you, all of a sudden all your sins. Shenemar, and he quotes the pasuk. It's remarkable. The Ramah doesn't say this is a nice machshavah. The Ramah says that this is halach lemaisa, meaning not halach lemaisa you're going to have to get married, but the concept of not being a man and not being shalim until one gets married is a concept that is mamish halacha. And this is where the Bach says, you know, so you might say the following. Pasuk says the following. Lo tavodim lo slavado, it's not good for man to be alone, so I'm never... So you say, you know what? Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to help me out. He wants to give me something. No, thank you. You might say such a concept. Why not? I don't need anybody else. The Bach, the first Bach in Evan Ezer, which is a commentary on the Torah, he says, you say, Kevin Shalotov Asi Asaliyas Ezer, Lo Tov, I don't have to get one. Lo Tov Hayos Adam Levado. Ain Ani Chavitz Betov Azu, a person wants to say, I don't want anything to do with this. EF Sheba, Kiladata Yoser Tovahi. Lo, it's better for him to be alone, because Yashav below Isha, when he's going to be without a wife, Umatzalo Ezer Bira. He says, this idea is Ta'uzeh Min Alev. This is mistaken, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu didn't tell us that for you or for you. He's telling us the Metzias, the reality of the world is, a person's not supposed to be alone. The way he created the world is that you're not Shalim until you find somebody else. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, in an all-boys club, people have a tendency to forget that. So that's why I want to take you back to the parsha. Take you back to the parsha for one last word that ties everything together. When Kadosh Baruch Hu, when the Malachim come and come to Avram to give him the news, one of the things they say, Vayomer Elav, Ayeh Sara Ishtecha, where is Sarah, your wife? Vayomer Hinei Ba'ayel. She's in the tent. So Rashi says something so basic and so elementary and so important to know. Why did the Malachim have to ask Avram where is Sarah? They're Malachim, they know these things, right? They got the memo, they got the text message, whatever it is, right? However the Malachim are going to find out. Bav Metzia says, Isa Yodami Malacha Shar Sari Yemeinu Heichanayisa. So they knew exactly where Sarah is. Elo Diyash it's Snua Haisa, but they knew she was Snua. Kedei L'chavav Al Baila, to once again reawaken the enjoyment on her husband. To pour the kosher bracha. But what does Rashi highlight to us? Even Avram Avinu sometimes forgets how precious his wife is. And the Malachim had to ask a question to remind them, oh, by the way, you're Sarah, hinei Sarah ba'ol. And Rashi says, teaches us she's snuahi. And the Sitzei Chachamim points out, because it's really piggybacking off the previous Rashi, which was that the Malachim just wanted to remind Avram how beautiful and precious Sarah was. Not that Avram didn't appreciate it. Trust me, Avram Avinu appreciated it. But sometimes, even the nuances we forget. And the idea of Akedah Yitzchak brings back, whoa, sometimes when you go without something, you forget how precious it is. And Avram Avinu, at this moment in time, when it was the Akedah, he understood how difficult that Akedah was and that Nisayon was without his wife. The beginning of the parasha, it bookends then. In the beginning of the parasha, the Malachim remind Avram how beautiful and how precious and how special his wife is. And at the end of the parasha, through the Nisayon once again, he recognizes, Lo tov adim lif levado, it's no good to be alone. Nobody ever wants to be able to make that decision about what to do with their son without consulting their best friend and their life partner. And Avram didn't have that opportunity. So that's the idea in Shalom Bayis, that Lo tov adim lif levado, it's not good. Two is better than one. And finally, that anybody who is below Isha, Shari, below Simcha, below Bracha, u below Tovah.